Good evening. This is Noreen Sumter on Beyond Potential. Live life your way. And as I say every week, it is Tuesday evening. It is my favorite day of the week. Why? Because I get to play with you. I get to share. I get to be curious. And I get to engage amazing people, ordinary people doing extraordinary things. And why extraordinary? Because they're living life their way. And I just love it. So my guest tonight is Donatella Giametti.
Let me give you a hand with that.
Give me a hand with that, because I'll need a hand. Trust me on that.
It's part of my coaching profession. Donatella Giacometti.
Oh, my gosh. So I said it completely. Now, this is...
No, I get it.
I always mess up people's names, but that one, I totally messed it up completely.
But people call me DG, so that works.
DG? Let me try it. So it's Donatella...
Yes.
Giacometti.
Perfect.
Okay. So, yes, Donatella Giacometti is on the show tonight, and she is from CEO Media Coach. So before we get into having a conversation with Donatella, I just want to share my day. So today was Lunch Lady number 2. And what we had at Lunch Lady number 2 was a LinkedIn profile roast. And so we roasted people's profiles. It was really great because people got to see what worked, what didn't work, and what wasn't working at all on their profiles. And everybody took it on the chin and took it well. I mean, we were very gentle and very nice to them, but people really had a great time. So, you know, I always say that I bring people from all ages. So we had a baby because Lunch Lady, if you are a woman and you have a baby, it shouldn't stop you from attending one of our workshops. You should be able to bring the baby. I say bring the baby, right? Because women have babies. And if the baby cries and needs something, you take them outside and you take care of them and you come back in the room. You shouldn't have to miss out, and you shouldn't have to, you know, decide whether you can come or to something or not. This is business, and women have children. And then we had a gentleman that was clearly in his 80s. He was a marketing person. It was quite a wonder to watch him because you saw the different age groups and how they operated, even though the baby didn't do anything but be cute. And then we had a 18-year-old who came in and was supporting and assisting me. And then we had Judy Hayes, which is our LinkedIn expert. She's just wonderful, so a shout out. And then we had Ron Foster, who is a photographer, an amazing photographer. And people were advised to get photographs done. Do not have a LinkedIn page with no photograph. But that was really great. We had a full house again, which I'm very, very proud and excited about. So that was my day, and it was absolutely awesome. All right, so that was less about me and more about why we're here. So Donatella, please introduce yourself. Let's hear a little bit about you. So tell me, you are a CEO Media Coach.
Yes.
Right. So tell me a little bit about who you are, where you came from, you know, where did you grow up, you know, and how did you, you know, because sometimes most of us bump into careers that are naturally ours. You know, there was something about that career that is intrinsically who we are. So tell us a little bit about you.
Sure. Well, you asked where I grew up. Mm-hmm. So I'm a native New Yorker.
Oh, nice. You're the second one in the last 2 weeks.
Okay, so that qualifies one to really be involved in all forms of interaction. Uh-huh. So, for example, when you're window shopping in Manhattan, it's really an opportunity to be able to have the visual communications speak to you.
Right.
When you go to the great museums in the city, you get to see art and history. When you go to the theater or concerts, there is that aspect of culture.
Right.
And so growing up in New York, early on, I was influenced by business, Wall Street.
Mm-hmm.
And,
was your parents on Wall Street?
Well, I'll explain. Yes,
okay.
My dad was a very successful entrepreneur. Mm-hmm. And one of the things he always encouraged me to do, which I resisted, mm-hmm. was read the Wall Street Journal.
Okay.
Now, let me explain why I resisted. I read it every day.
Okay.
But let me, in an homage to my dad.
Okay.
But I'd like to explain why I resisted with the Wall Street Journal.
Okay.
It was all of those tables seemed very repetitious. They weren't artistic.
Uh-huh.
My mother is an artist,
right,
and a designer.
Right.
And so I had that part of my life really being stimulated.
Mm-hmm.
It was a balance between those two parents. And no one in my family are doctors,
right,
lawyers, entrepreneurs, as I mentioned, artists,
right,
designers. Nobody was in the field of marketing.
Right.
So that really left a mystery for me to solve. And I was very attracted to the communications and marketing aspect of work.
Right.
Why? Because it gives you an opportunity to connect with people, mm-hmm, and help to draw them out. So that brought me to my current career.
Wow. That's a lot. But you know what? I'm sitting here and I'm listening to your voice. You have an amazing voice.
Well, thank you.
It has this like softness in the back.
Oh.
It's great.
Let me tell you something about my voice.
Sure.
A few months ago, in the last year, mm-hmm, I had a very severe case of laryngitis.
Mm-hmm.
And it took really months for me to regain my ability to speak.
Wow.
As you're hearing me tonight.
Right.
What this did was gave me a renewed appreciation of the business that CEO Media Coach is involved in,
right,
which is really to help others,
mm-hmm,
speak for their companies, for their brand, be,
right,
the voice of their brand.
Right.
And in those few months when I lost my own voice,
mm-hmm,
I was further inspired to do what I do.
Right, because you probably had a keener ear.
Most certainly. And a renewed appreciation of the importance of the spoken word.
Right.
Because many of our clients, which I can tell you more about,
mm-hmm,
come to us and maybe they have scripts.
Right.
And they might be able to read from the script, but reading from a script is very different,
right,
than speaking the words and the intentions.
Right.
The modulation, the pacing, the color,
right,
around the words to really bring words to life.
Right.
And that's a very big part of what we as executive communications strategists,
right,
do. We help to bring those words to life.
Right. So you help to bring people's words to life. So like, how does one do that? Because if somebody's got like a flat, mm-hmm, monotone voice and they just speak like this and they're reading, because for me, reading a script is, yeah, very difficult because,
mm-hmm,
I can't get to be with the person that I'm speaking to. So if I'm reading the script and I'm supposed to be communicating and connecting with the audience, I lose my connection. And what I find is that I'm more in the script down here,
uh-huh,
instead of being out here.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I can have little headliners,
yes,
and fill in, but I can't be in the script like this. Otherwise, I am not connected to you and I lose.
Well, that sounds, you know, that's what you don't want to do. Exactly,
right,
what you just,
right,
imitated. But we have developed a technique.
Mm-hmm.
We call it annotation.
Okay.
And I learned how to do this by doing voiceovers.
Right.
In my career, one aspect of it has been to be a voiceover artist.
Right.
And there is a technique to look at the written words, like,
mm-hmm,
if you're doing a commercial, in our case, earnings calls or,
mm-hmm,
roadshow scripts, because we work with many C-suite executives from,
mm-hmm,
publicly traded companies.
Mm-hmm.
So they have to communicate at least on a quarterly basis with the public, with,
right,
the capital markets, with their investors.
Right.
So the technique that we have called annotation is using markings. We take out all of the punctuation, the traditional punctuation,
mm-hmm,
is deleted,
mm-hmm,
and we convert the words that you see into really an orchestral score.
Right.
So we turn it into a form of music.
Right.
So when it is presented and spoken by those executives, suddenly what you have is intonation and tempo and,
right,
rhythm and color and sound,
right,
and it involves the audience rather than what you just described a moment ago. What not to do is to bore people. You never want to be boring.
No, you don't. Mm-mm. How many seconds do you have before you actually lose somebody's attention?
Oh, that's a great question. Well, if you're doing a good job, it should be at least the length of this podcast. Right. We don't want to lose anybody's attention. Right. But if you're dull, I would say within the first 10 to 30 seconds, you're finished. People will be distracted.
Right.
Because it's all about the audience. It's all about what people hear, what they see, even more than what we say.
Right. Do you think that, because I always think that, a good speaker is able to create color in people's minds and be able to create graphics or have people go back into their, because, human beings, we're going to make meaning out of what we hear anyway. But it's like going back into your brain or your mind or your past and pulling forth some kind of texture or story that goes along with that person's
word.
Well,
you're right. You want to visualize. So a great spokesperson, an orator, a great spokesperson is really able to, in real time, be able to see what they're saying, what they're delivering, because it is something that is, it comes from deep within.
Right.
You asked me a question a few moments ago, what do you do with someone who maybe doesn't have an apparent innate talent to deliver a message and speak effectively.
Right.
One of the things that we offer is a studio immersion, video studio immersion.
Right.
So there's nothing as constructive as an executive being able to see themselves on camera and play that performance back because we're ultimately our own best or worst critics.
Right.
And then from there, you have a baseline. So you know where you have to work, what aspect of that person's talent needs to be supported and brought forth. Because it's never about criticizing.
Right.
It's about encouraging.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Great. So the person... Okay, going back to being in a studio time and having a look at yourself, I don't generally replay my shows.
Oh.
And I find that, I've heard that most actors and actresses, they don't like to watch themselves on the screen, right? Because you're like, Nick, and I don't like that. So I just generally, it's done and I let it go.
Uh-huh.
I don't stress out about it. So do you think that's something that I ought to do is like really sort of go
well,
back?
I would love to work with you one-on-one in a video studio.
Right.
But because to this point, we work with some of the world's most influential spokespersons.
Mm-hmm.
They might be doctors, engineers, PhDs, highly educated. They know their material like the back of their hand. But then when they have to really deliver that in a way so that others can understand what they're talking about, they really need to rehearse.
Right.
So I like
I'm gonna
to...
I'm going to ask you to hold that thought.
I'm going to hold on to it.
So that we can cut into a break. Thank you.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network. Are you stuck in a rut? Negative thoughts, feelings, and conversations got you down? Hi, I'm Noreen Sumter, the Potentiator. Tune in every Tuesday at 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time and listen for new ideas on my show, Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way, on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
Talk Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
And we're back on Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way, and we're speaking to Donatella Giacometti.
Perfect.
Okay, I'm so happy. And we've just found out that Madame Giacometti is related to a famous artist, so you guys can look it up if you want to. So you source your clients from a score of lots of different industries, mm-hmm. right? And so you said that you work with PhDs, you work with like engineers, scientists, all the top professionals.
That's correct.
Pretty much in the world.
That's
right?
correct.
And you said that even though these people might know their business like the back of their hands, mm-hmm. what's missing? Not what's wrong, what's missing from a lot of their communications?
Okay, so how we like to pose that missing mm-hmm. Je ne sais quoi mm-hmm. is that we live in the world of modern media.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about the spokesperson necessarily. It's about that we're surrounded by smartphones, cameras, right. live mics. There are an estimated 3 billion smartphones on the planet. Mm-hmm. And so chances are at any moment, whatever, it's of 7 billion people,
right.
so do the math. You know, it's every other person might have a live feed
right.
at the moment that you least expect it.
Mm-hmm.
So even a world-class spokesperson, that PhD, that MD, that great accomplished business
right.
executive needs to prepare himself and herself for those situations where modern media is surrounding them.
Right.
So, for example, a podcast, you know, a live feed, a television interview. So all of those things are really where the challenge is.
Mm-hmm.
So when you pose it that way, even those very best accomplished individuals
right.
realize, oh, there's something that I probably could do better. And that's what we call like that last 5%. So you're, you know, you're 95% there, but wait a minute, let's just take it a little further and see whether we can build on your excellence so that you, spokesperson,
mm-hmm.
connect most effectively with those that are tuning in, listening, your audience, your stakeholders,
right.
et cetera. And that is something that I think is very convincing
right.
and compelling to these individuals who, by the way, have very little time.
Right.
They have very busy schedules.
So a question that popped into my head just now was like, so a spokesperson, they pretty much have to be on most of the time. Would you say?
Well, I would say that that's fair. I mean, if you're working, let's say you're a successful CEO
mm-hmm.
and you have many, many different stakeholders. So,
right.
for example, you have your employees, your
right.
talent, that all those folks that are working with you that should be inspired by your presence.
Mm-hmm.
So when you come in and out of the office into and then you have the boardroom.
Right.
So you have your board of directors. So there is another communications. We call it high stakes communications
right.
opportunities.
Right.
So you see that you have your talent pool, then you have your boardroom, and then you may be going out one-on-one, a luncheon
mm-hmm.
with a journalist. And so, yes, you're right. You really need to expect that your working life and your ability to speak about your passion
mm-hmm.
Is something that has some 24/7 to it. So if you're not on vacation on an isolated island barefoot, then chances are you're working.
You're up against it like that. So what I found in you know, the little speaking, I have a talk on Saturday, actually.
Mm-hmm.
I'm doing a keynote for for an organization. And what I've found is that when you actually enter that stage, people are ready.
Mm-hmm.
People want, I mean, literally they're on the edge of their seats and they're ready to hear you speak. Or if they're not on the edge of their seat, they're just, but then you start to speak, you see the audience. You can, what I say is I can feel the audience
yes.
kick in, right? And I can feel them lean forward. And I find that that leaning forward really makes a difference because you can actually gauge
mm-hmm.
how you're being received. right? Would you say that's, you know?
Oh, no. Well, first of all, you're extremely sensitive. Maybe not too many people can, you know, walk that, you know, that line of right. being able to read others.
Right.
But you're absolutely right. It's a talent that you want to cultivate. And you made me think about some of the other aspects of that preparedness.
Mm-hmm.
One of our expressions at CEO Media Coach is, are you ready?
Right.
So we always ask that question. Are you ready for that podcast? Are you ready for that interview? Are you ready for that keynote speech? Right. And so chances are that there's more work that needs to be done where? Behind the scenes. So 90% of the effort is before you reach that podium.
Right.
Because if you haven't done all of the homework and the hard work, you know, prior to that appearance, chances are it's going to be a long night.
So now, how does one, you know, like for instance, when I get really excited to stand in the front of the room, and I was trying to think back to the first time I actually got on stage or in front the room, I think I was about 10, and I used to do ballet and tap dance, the whole dance genre.
Uh-huh.
And I remember there was these girls in my class, they were like the favorites. Mm-hmm. And I remember we had this show at the Catford Town Hall, right? Which is at a town hall, right? It looked enormous, and now you see it's like this little tiny place.
Of course.
And I remember we had to sing that song, we had tap shoes on, and it was give them the old razzle dazzle, razzle dazzle. And I remember going on stage, and the girls that I was expecting to take it away because they were the favorites, their voices shrunk.
Uh-huh.
Right?
They choked.
Yeah. Their voices shrunk. They choked. And I thought to myself, this is my chance.
So how'd you do?
So I just took it away. I was just like tapping my little feet off and singing that song and really being big. And I thought to myself, oh, I kind of like this, right? And I found that I really enjoy talking to people and being in the front of the room and sharing stuff. And it gets me really, really excited. And what I've learned is speak to the back of the room. Find somebody in the back of the room that I can connect with. Come back, shoot around, you know, because I generally speak to people as I'm speaking, you know. And I did a keynote at the top of the year, and I had over 100 people in that room. It was very exciting. It was extremely exciting. And I was talking and sharing, but how I was speaking was as though it was just me and that person.
Mm-hmm. One-to-one.
Right. It was just me and that person. And at the end of and then I had to do a panel. And at the end of that talk, what people came up to me and said, I felt as though you were speaking to me, just me. It was just me and you in the room. And I was like, wow, that's pretty awesome. Because I've had people say that was a good talk, but I've never had 100 people and a good many of them come to me and say, I feel as though I could completely relate to you. That was me. I felt as it was one-on-one. So I felt like, that's a good thing. That's something that I should hone. And so, like, when you speak to, what are the skills that you want people to hone?
Well, maybe we can come back to that question, because there are several things that you said that I think are worth emphasizing about that, you know, that situation that you described, where you went on and you were dancing and you razzle-dazzled them.
Right.
I think in that you were in the moment and you were physically ready for the experience. Now, in that case, of course, you were singer-dancer.
Right.
But
and
if you're
10.
And 10. Okay, but you have to go to like that child within to be able to really project and connect with others.
Mm-hmm.
Because otherwise, there's going to be too much in the way of connecting.
Right.
But I want to make the point that the physicality of speaking, whether it's more intimate, like we are doing on this podcast, even though there are probably many, many, many people tuning in and listening in, but still, it's that intimacy of conversation. And to have the physical presence is very important. The audience was leaning in, so you knew from their body language that they were engaged in what you had to say.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really the goal. You want to engage the audience. One of the things that we do is to when we want to relax that executive and get into that coaching relationship, because it's an ongoing relationship. Mm-hmm. It's not just one time and you're finished, because each situation requires kind of a different preparation.
Right.
But I often ask, do you have an instrument? Do you play an instrument? And actually, in the sciences, many of the MDs, PhDs, they just also happen to be musicians.
Oh.
I don't know why that is, but
right.
So we had one executive, and I remember his instrument was the tuba.
Right.
And so I thought, well, that's a very interesting. And so I want to bring him to that place where he remembers what it was like to maybe be in that marching band.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe it's the athletic experience that will relax that individual and inspire them. Oh, you know, I was on the baseball, but I played second base, and I really remember a particular game. So you bring them into their own element,
right.
And then you use that energy to, you incorporate that energy into the material that you have to present.
Right.
Because often the material may be very specific and not so entertaining, if
right.
you know what I'm
it
saying.
It might be just very
now
logical.
Now you had a question, if you recall it, that you wanted me to get back to.
Oh, gosh. What was and this is what happens
right.
when you're in the
well,
moment.
Well, let's go on to
All
another.
Right. So, So one of the questions that I wanted to ask you was about the audience,
mm-hmm.
like how some people are just natural speakers.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm a natural speaker. I love speaking. It's one of my favorite things to do. I swear to God. Right. And
you're very good at it.
Thank you. And I also found that like when I was younger, mm-hmm. I liked to hold court. Mm-hmm. I've been holding court for a very long time. And so I want to find that. Just let's think about a celebrity. I don't know if you know any of them, but who would you say is not a natural speaker as a celebrity but honed that skill, or even a politician?
Well, I won't name names.
No,
just
no.
like we don't name names
yeah,
for our clients, because it's a very...
That's why I said just like a celebrity that
okay,
you
so
can see
your
on TV.
Question is who might not really be natural?
Yeah, natural speaker.
Well, some people... Let's talk about what might stand in the way of
right,
being able
okay.
to be a
That's
good speaker.
A good one. Yes.
So let's say some people might have very thick accents
okay.
that maybe they, you know, come to a situation, they're in New York, for
right.
example, but maybe they have a
big Scottish accent.
A big, right. You have a wonderful accent, but
well,
some,
it wasn't, it never, no, it wasn't, it was not wonderful when I came here. It was all like that when I came here. You know, I got fired from a job,
okay.
actually.
Really?
You know, say for instance, it was Johnson, Mays, and Green. Johnson, Mays, and Green. Oh, my God.
Right,
Johnson, Mays, and Green. How can I help you?
So that won't work.
No, that
no,
was not
no,
going
you
to
got,
work.
You got retired from that opportunity.
I got retired in a day.
Uh-huh.
But I had no concept of yeah. my
Right, you couldn't hear
you
yourself.
You can't hear yourself.
Well, it's actually, though painful, it is good to record your own
right.
voice. Just like I was saying earlier, it is good to videotape your own performance.
Right.
Because you want to see and hear as others see and hear you.
Right.
So accents are something that often need to be massaged.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because you want the audience to understand what you're saying.
Right.
It's not about you that your accent is in the way. To the contrary, it could be very charming, very lyrical. However, if people are not understanding what you're saying, yeah, that's a problem.
Right. It's great. Another
thing is pacing. So some people, we had a client recently who was concerned that their delivery was just too rapid.
Right.
So how do we really kind of bring that down? There are many techniques for all of this, the breathing, the relaxation, the warm-up exercises. You know, you go into the green room where you're really preparing for your presentation. So those are some of the things. Then there might be some physical impediments. Some people have a lisp.
Right.
When I was a child, I had a sibilant S. You know what that is?
No, I don't.
It's
oh.
Uh-huh.
It was on every...
On every S, we could hear the sound. Now, this is not where we want to be as a speaker. So there is training and modification that one would need to make.
So it's like My Fair Lady, basically.
Oh, definitely.
Huh. That's kind of cool.
Yes.
So how do you keep... Because what I've noticed, what I'm able to detect
mm-hmm.
from people when they're speaking is when they go into their head...
Mm-hmm.
They leave us out here.
Yes.
And they go into your head. It might just be for a second. Mm-hmm. It might be for 2 seconds, but they've lost, it's almost like they've lost the connection.
Uh-huh.
How do you help people with
that? Well, that's about focus. So it's one of the elements is, let me step back and say that we have a methodology. Mm-hmm. CEO Media Coach has developed a methodology. We call it Carpe. It's like Carpe Diem.
Right.
Seize the day, seize the opportunity for speaking. Mm-hmm. So the first thing is really your content. Mm-hmm. So do you know what key points you want to make?
Right.
So that's imperatives, because if you can get to the 3 points that you were hoping to communicate to that audience, mm-hmm. that will continue to anchor you.
Right.
I talked about the A in Carpe. That was about annotation, making sure that you kind of have a visual orchestration of mm-hmm. what you would like to say. So in my mind right now, I'm kind of seeing the words, the phrases that I want to get across to hopefully help people right. to get something out of this conversation.
Absolutely.
The R in Carpe is the rehearsal. Mm-hmm. And so to your point about being able to take the time, make the time to go behind the scenes and rehearse so right. that you're warmed up, you're really ready to make your presentation. Then the day of your presentation, whatever it is for mm-hmm. you, it's going to be, I think you said Saturday, and you're doing a major keynote speech. Mm-hmm. It's a very big deal.
Yeah, they found me online. I'm like quite shocked.
Oh, okay. No, well, I'm not. Oh. You're a rising star.
Thank you.
But the day of your event, you want to make sure that you have all of your logistics.
Yes.
Because people often don't pay enough attention to the setup. Where are the microphones? Where are the cameras,
right.
if there are going to be any? Is the stage on a riser? What am I going to wear? Not because I want to look great, but is it going to be comfortable and appropriate
exactly.
for the situation? And then the E in Carpe is really to engage your audience and then to evaluate after the fact, how did I do?
Awesome. Great. So we're going to take a break and we'll be right back.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network at www.talkingalternative.com. Now, broadcasting 24 hours a day.
Talking Alternative.
Do you run or are ready to open your own business? Hi, I'm Jeremiah Fox. I've been operating and opening small business for the last 25 years, and I'm the host of the new show, The Entrepreneurial Web. Tune in every Friday at noon Eastern Time for insights and stories on the nuances of running small business right here on Fridays at noon, talkradio.nyc.
Do you love or are you intrigued about New York City and its neighborhoods? I'm Jeff Goodman, host of Rediscovering New York, a weekly show that showcases New York's history and its extraordinary neighborhoods. Every Tuesday live at 7 p.m., we focus on a particular neighborhood and explore its history, its vibe, its feel, and its energy. Tune in live every Tuesday at 7 p.m. on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network. Are you stuck in a rut? Negative thoughts, feelings, and conversations got you down? Hi, I'm Noreen Sumter, the Potentiator. Tune in every Tuesday at 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time and listen for new ideas on my show, Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way, on talkradio.nyc.
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
And we're back on Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way. So, Donna, can I call you Donna?
You could call me Donnie.
Donnie. Okay, I'll call you Donnie. Donnie, how did you get into this industry and how long have you been at it?
Well, let's see. I was very attracted to the advertising industry. And mm-hmm. as I said earlier, no one in my circle was in that business.
Right.
So I kind of found my way to it. My interest in media, in
right.
magazines, in newspapers, in journalism, in theater.
Right.
So I should mention that because the theatrical aspect of the work is embedded in everything that
we do.
That's why
I said My Fair Lady.
Yes, but particularly not so much in front of the camera, uh-huh. although, you know, I've had some occasion to do that kind mm-hmm. of work, but it was really behind the scenes. What interested me most artistically was directing. Mm-hmm. And I think that the art of directing is very similar to the profession of communications, consulting, and right. coaching. So you're there behind the scenes. You feel what that spokesperson is setting out to do, what mm-hmm. their objectives are, but you have to coax them
right.
to really be able to deliver it in the appropriate way.
Right.
So with all of those interests, I was hired by an advertising agency actually mm-hmm. to launch a division for them, a PR division. So the efforts in PR is very much public relations,
right.
very much related to the executive communications. Why? Because you're looking for a headline.
Mm-hmm.
You're looking for something that's going, you know, a subject that's going to interest people, a right. lot of people,
mm-hmm.
right? It usually will be something kind of ahead of the curve, a bit trendy, so that's what makes news.
Right.
And then you're looking for content, and you want your content to be kind of in order of priority.
Right.
So when you're thinking about developing a news release, for example, you think about the who, the what, mm. the when, the where, the why,
right.
and then don't forget the how.
Right.
So with those disciplines, which are essential to the area of public relations, those migrated in my career mm-hmm. to other aspects of marketing and advertising,
right.
which included graphic arts and eventually also investor relations.
Mm-hmm.
Now, for many, investor relations is a little more mysterious a discipline. It may not be as visible as some of the other aspects of marketing. However, it is fundamental when it comes to relating clients,
right.
companies, their products, their services to the capital markets. And what that means is how do you present to potential investors
mm-hmm.
and the business media?
So not only do they have to know their market, you have to know their
oh,
market
definitely.
To be able to train them.
That's right.
So the question that I was going to ask was, one, I want to say I can actually feel your passion. You guys, you should actually be here. This woman is on fire. Like literally, I don't know if you know it, but uh-huh. like I can feel your joy and your
it's
love
true.
Of this.
I love it.
This industry, right?
Yes.
And so I'm getting chills. Like seriously,
oh.
that's how it works for me. And then also, what is your favorite client?
Oh, well, I won't tell. You know, it's like your children.
You know,
right? They're all your favorite.
Mm-hmm.
But I really enjoy mm-hmm. working with, I'm going to picture one in my mind right now. It happens to be one client that we've worked with for many years that
mm-hmm.
really encouraged our focus on spokesperson coaching.
Mm-hmm.
Happened to be a CEO of a NASDAQ company.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what I really enjoyed and continue to enjoy about that executive is their appreciation of what we do.
Right.
You know, to really say, you've done a great job, you've really helped to make our message resonate with the
right.
people who need to hear about it.
Absolutely. And what's the client that, you know, have you ever had a client that you know they need your help?
Hmm.
You know that it would make a world of a difference, but they're very difficult. How do you manage a difficult situation? Like somebody who just, and I say difficult, he mm-hmm. wants it or she wants it, but they just want it now. They want it tomorrow.
Well, that would probably be unrealistic.
Mm-hmm.
So we might not want to really engage in mm-hmm. that situation because we're not doing any service
right.
to that client if they don't have a realistic expectation of the work that they're going to have
mm-hmm.
to put in to get them to where they want to go.
Right.
The other thing is that you have to show up.
Right.
And I think that when you're thinking about any kind of a situation, like even what we're doing this evening,
mm-hmm.
you know, I'm committed. I respect Noreen.
Right, thank you.
And what you do. And so I wanted to be prepared for my appearance on your podcast. And that is what, that's really what you want in a client. Right. If they're going to cancel, for example, or not be true to their word, that is very difficult because then you don't have the mutual respect that's necessary.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's the same way with me and my clients.
Mm-hmm.
If they don't show up, if they don't honor their word, it's like, how are we going to work together if you don't honor your word?
Yeah.
It doesn't work.
It doesn't work for you.
It certainly doesn't work for me.
No, and you asked earlier, what is kind of a challenge maybe I have faced in, you know, as I've evolved in mm-hmm. my career? And I thought long and hard about that question while we were on break.
Uh-huh.
And I think it was to learn to ask really the probing questions.
Right.
To know that sometimes the question that you ask is the very most important thing that you could do for your client.
Right.
Because it stimulates the conversation. And then once you've had the courage to ask the probing question, then wait and listen actively for the answer.
Absolutely.
Don't always rush to try to kind of know the answer or to jump in with your solution, even though that might be from passion, an instinct.
Mm-hmm.
But listening to what that client has to say, you will learn so much and really be able to excel in your ability to take them to that next level.
And so just to piggyback on top of that conversation, because I'm sure that you've had many an experience when you were coming into your own, because it takes a while to come into your own when you're dealing with people so closely and you're dealing with high energy, high powered, you know, high dollar averages, individuals that are highly respectful. And so I'm sure it took a level of courage for you, because you have to be you have to bring yourself, you're the instructor, you're the one that's the coach, so you have to bring yourself up so that you're able to communicate with them and have them come down and listen, but be on an equal plane.
That's right.
Right. And so what was that like for you in the beginning? I mean, I'm sure it's very similar to a lot of people that are in this as entrepreneurs. And this is something that I talk about in my coaching and as well as in Lunch Lady, is building the courage to ask the questions.
Yes.
And it's how you pose the question as opposed to just asking the question directly or not asking the question at all.
Okay, so I think that in response to your question, I think it's incremental.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, you don't kind of pop out of the shell this way.
Right.
You learn as you go. And you have to really be open to learning.
Absolutely.
And to do self-assessment, frequent self-assessment. For example, I know after this podcast, I will self-assess.
Right.
I will say, you know, how did I do? Could I have done better? Would I have done anything differently?
Right.
You know, I will ask myself those probing questions.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because as well as I can do tonight with you and your audience, maybe the next time I will do even better. And why that is because it's continuous learning.
Absolutely.
You're never there.
There's nowhere to get to.
There's nowhere to get to. Right? You're always, you know, en route to the destination.
Which
and
is,
the destination keeps moving.
I always say 6 foot under. There's nowhere to get to, really. And it's like, so it's kind of like the growing. You said, you know, you don't just pop out. Even a bird coming out of the shell breaks one little thing at a time. And I'm sure it's absolutely, if I were a bird coming out of an egg, it would be painful. I'm sure it's, you know, I've never had a baby, but a baby coming out of a womb is painful.
Yes.
So you growing incrementally in your business is painful at some point. It's scary and challenging at some point, but we can't just walk away. And that, that speaks to individuals that say, I want to work with top clients. Well, you can't go from zero to... It's very rare that a person goes from zero to a top client in one fell swoop just walking out the door.
Intellectual curiosity really helps to constantly be interested in something that you maybe know a little bit about and want to learn more.
Right. Well, I'm going to take a break, but we'll be right back.
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
I'm the aptly named host of Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio. Big nonprofit ideas for the other 95%. Fundraising, board relations, social media. My guests and I cover everything that small and mid-sized shops struggle with. If you have big dreams and a small budget, you have a home at Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio. Fridays, 1 to 2 Eastern at talkingalternative.com.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
TalkingAlternative.com.
So we're back on Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way, and I'm speaking to Donatella Giacometti. Awesome.
Well done.
That's really great. So one of your mottos, my motto is Live Life Your Way, mm-hmm. right? And it's like, that's my umbrella. And so your motto is Bridging the Divide Between Story, Spokesperson, and Stakeholder. And how did you come up with that?
Well, one of the things that one does in an advertising career and a PR career is to write taglines.
Right.
So that is a tagline that we felt would duly express our purpose
right.
for CEO Media Coach. So there is a divide between the story that we want to tell,
mm-hmm.
the person who's telling that story,
mm-hmm.
and the stakeholders, the people who are listening and receiving that story.
Right.
And if you leave the gap open between those three elements, there's a problem. So you really have to bridge that divide
right.
and bring that story to life, thinking first about the stakeholders,
right.
starting with, okay, who am I going to be speaking to? Because they count the most.
Right.
Then you step back and say, well, what am I going to tell them? What's the story? Some people sometimes say it's a narrative expression. So it's your narrative. It's your story. It's your key talking points.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's what you want people to take away.
Right.
And then there is the spokesperson. And that's the delivery of that story
mm-hmm.
so that it connects and engages with those stakeholders. And if you miss on any one of those beats. There's a problem.
Yes, there's definitely a problem.
So this is the solution to that problem, which hopefully you avoid altogether.
Right. Now, so we're talking about speaking, the person
yes.
speaking, bridging the gap, bringing all these components together. Then we also have to look at the visuals.
Yes. Oh, the optics.
Yes.
Right, which is kind of the current phraseology.
Uh-huh.
It's the optics.
Optics.
So what do you want to know about optics?
So I want to know, like, a person, because I'm thinking, you know, some of these people, not all of them, but like a PhD who's in a lab all the time, and it's uh-huh. probably dusty.
Okay.
Right? You know, when I think of Doctor Who.
Okay.
Right, I think of Doctor Who. Really smart, you know, really adventurous.
Uh-huh.
He's good. He's game for almost everything, but he's a little dusty.
Uh-huh.
He's a little sort of, you know, old fashioned. He's sort of behind the times a little bit, right? So do you actually help them with their physicality and so that we have good optics?
Okay. So let's step back from that for okay. a moment before we, you know, talk
yes.
about Doctor Who.
Right.
And let me tell you that the influences of the fashion
mm-hmm.
business and the fashion industry
mm-hmm.
have been fundamental to our team.
Right.
So it's, yes, it's finance and yes, it's science, but it's also things like fragrances mm-hmm. and flavors and fashion design mm-hmm. and, you know, kind of those cultural influences. Mm-hmm. We've represented, you know, major fashion yes. magazines, for example. Mm-hmm. So that genre is mostly about what we see, kind of right. the visual candy. Mm-hmm. And so in that, you learn to respect form, color, mm-hmm. shape, silhouette, mm-hmm. all of those elements that affect probably at least 80% mm-hmm. of what your message is about. So you have to nail the optics right. in order to keep people right. On the page with you. So as far as wardrobe and, right. you know, and how we look and what we're wearing, you know, you don't want to change ever who the person is.
Right.
That's not going to work. So the best that you can do is really kind of encourage them about, if you're going to be doing a broadcast interview, for example, you need to know that certain patterns vibrate right. on the screen. So you don't want like little checks or little polka dots because that's going to be a problem right. visually. So not that. Maybe if you're wearing, if it's a gentleman, you're wearing a shirt and, you know, in a suit jacket, for example. You know, it's always kind of nice to have the cuffs come out of, you know, the, you know, your white cuffs come out right. of the sleeves of your jacket. Why? Because it's a visual conversation mm-hmm. that you're having with your audience. But you don't want to be
distracted. What kind of a visual conversation is that?
Which?
The cuffs coming out.
Oh, it sort of completes the, you know, the picture of that person, because a lot of times you just have kind of the upper torso.
Okay.
Like if you're at a, you know, at a desk, maybe on a news program and you're being interviewed, I'm thinking about like CNBC right. or whatever, and maybe that individual who's being interviewed is putting his or her hands on the desk.
Right.
You know, so that it's, you don't want to have, for example, too much jewelry. You don't right. want anything that's going to make noise or distract
right.
from the speaker. But at the same time, you want to have a finished look.
Right.
You want to be, you know, neat and ready.
Right. Yeah, that's
Does
your,
that
that's
answer your question?
Yeah, that answers the question. So you, so now what came to mind was Jobs, right? Steve Jobs.
Yes.
He always wore that turtleneck,
yes.
that weird turtleneck and those weird jeans, and he looked mm-hmm. kind of grungy. In a non-grungy kind of way.
He was ahead of the curve.
Yeah. So do you find that people are getting a little bit more casual with their looks, with their talks, because we're doing more of them, right?
It depends on the individual and what they're comfortable in. You still want to look like, you know, you've
made an effort.
You know, Dad, I often say, please take a look in the three-way mirror, because right. why three-way mirror? Because with cameras, you could have four cameras, for example, if right. you're in a studio interview, and there might be a camera over your shoulder.
Right.
And so what's going on, you know, kind
in
of behind, you know, how's, you know, how's your hair, how's your collar doing over here?
Right.
So because it's 360 degrees,
right.
you know, we have
it's
to
right
be totally, you know, ready from every angle,
right.
physically, emotionally, mentally, 100% prepared from every angle.
It's so funny because today, you know, when I had to do Lunch Lady,
yes.
I really didn't think about what I was going to wear. And it was just like, what am I going to wear tomorrow? Okay, I'll wear that dress. That was it.
Mm-hmm.
Done.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to wear that dress. I'm going to wear some black tights and I'll put my pixie shoes on. Right? That was it. And I changed jewelry.
Yes.
But I really don't give it that much of a thought.
Well, because I think, if I may say, I think for you it's quite intuitive. I think it's second nature. You know, you have an affinity for color. You have a sense of your own
right.
style. I remember
yeah,
when
I
we first met.
Yeah, I do have my own style, yeah.
You know, what you were wearing, it was just phenomenal. It was a necklace and
yeah,
earrings.
You remember.
It was fantastic. It was
Thank
beads
you.
And it was colorful.
Right.
And you know, you really have a great sense of your personal style.
Right.
Not everybody
and I
has that.
I genuinely go for comfort.
Okay. Well, that too.
You know, that's...
It,
that's
well, that's very important.
Yeah. It's
you know,
I have to be comfortable.
You mentioned earlier, you know, we call it the three C's, about being comfortable,
mm-hmm.
conversational
mm-hmm.
and confident.
Right.
The best presentations are all three of those. It's like you don't even know that necessarily that you're presenting, because you're so in the moment
right.
that you're comfortable, confident, and conversational.
Right.
Takes a lot of rehearsing to get
okay.
there.
We are now lost. Yeah. Oh wow, we got three more minutes. That is amazing. I'm always amazed. I mean, I do this every week. You'd think I was like, this is new to me, but it's like, the level, like, there's just so much richness going on, so much, you know, generosity going inside of the conversation that it's like, I'm always like, oh my God, it's over. You know? So we have 3 minutes. Where can people find you?
Oh, easy. Mm-hmm. We have a website that hopefully communicates our identity.
It does.
It's called CEOMediaCoach.com. You don't have to be a CEO to be involved with our services and to benefit by our services. Mm-hmm. But we do like to say that if we can offer our services and improve the presentation skills of the best CEOs in the world, mm-hmm. chief executive officers mm-hmm. is what it stands for, then chances are that at whatever level of management mm-hmm. You are going to benefit by these techniques.
Right.
So you can find us at CEOMediaCoach.com. Mm-hmm. You can also find us on LinkedIn if you'd like to look me up on LinkedIn. It's my long multisyllabic name, mm-hmm. Donatella Giacometti.
Right.
And so
syllabic.
So LinkedIn, I think, is another place. And and we also have a YouTube channel.
Oh, nice. You
do. Yes, as an outgrowth of our website. Mm-hmm. So, I think that we're attempting to do what we advise others to do, is just be visible, be out there, don't be afraid. Oh, and I want to leave people with a thought.
Right, please.
That your communication should be uncluttered.
Okay.
And what that really means is what you leave out is as important as what you put in. So edit, delete, choose your words and your images and your optics carefully, mm-hmm. and keep it uncluttered, because that will keep others intrigued.
Oh, wow. That is a beautiful way to end the show. So, Donnie, I would like to say thank you so much for being on the show.
Well, I think this is having
this, I'm hoping this is a 20,000 hit one.
Oh, Noreen, it could
be. No, it was such a pleasure. Thank you so much for being on the show. And for the viewers and the listeners, thank you so much for listening. I so appreciate you. And I'll see you next week on Beyond Potential. Live life your way. So make sure you live life your way. Have a good one. Bye-bye.
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
Do you run or are ready to open your own business? Hi, I'm Jeremiah Fox. I've been operating and opening small business for the last 25 years, and I'm the host of the new show, The Entrepreneurial Web. Tune in every Friday at noon Eastern Time for insights and stories on the nuances of running small business right here on Fridays at noon, talkradio.nyc.
I'm the aptly named host of Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio, big nonprofit ideas for the other 95%. Fundraising, board relations, social media. My guests and I cover everything that small and mid-sized shops struggle with. If you have big dreams and a small budget, you have a home at Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio. Fridays, 1 to 2 Eastern at talkingalternative.com.
Hey, all you crazy listeners. Looking to boost your business? Why not advertise on Talking Alternative with very reasonable rates? Interested? Simply email at info@talkingalternative.com.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network at www.talkingalternative.com. Now, broadcasting 24 hours a day. Talking Alternative.
Do you love or are you intrigued about New York City and its neighborhoods? I'm Jeff Goodman, host of Rediscovering New York, a weekly show that showcases New York's history and its extraordinary neighborhoods. Every Tuesday live at 7 p.m., we focus on a particular neighborhood and explore its history, its vibe, its feel, and its energy. Tune in live every Tuesday at 7 p.m. on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.